Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamer Tag Radio.
Back on the scene.
With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamer Tag Radio.
Here we go.
All right, welcome to Gamer Tag Radio episode 703. This is your host, Danny, and also joining me this week, by the way, no Paris this week, but we have Pete in the house. Pete.
Woo, woo. What up, man?
Everything's good, man. Look, I haven't shaved. I'm stressed out, man. I've been playing a game here that I can't say what it is, but it's very stressful. That's all I have to say. It's all good. But we have a special guest.
Yep. We've got another clean cut, you know, individual on the show, unlike your haggard self, Danny. We have Ethan Young, the producer of Middle Earth Shadow of War Mobile. Thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
All right, man. Ethan, tell us a little bit about the game, man.
Yeah, so the game, it's basically, it's in the Tolkien universe. It's very similar or related to the Shadow of Mordor, Shadow of War console game. But it is a standalone product for mobile. So we're really excited about it. It launches tomorrow on Android and iOS. So anybody listening, please check it out. We're really excited about releasing it.
Yeah. And look, Pete, I pre-registered and I already got my copy. So if you did pre-register, you probably got the copy of the game early. But it's officially coming out worldwide tomorrow. So make sure to download everything, man. So it doesn't matter, Android or iOS. So any questions, Pete?
Yeah, so I have a couple of questions. Obviously, this is in, like you said, it's in the Tolkien universe, and you said it's not related in any way, shape, or form to the other ones. Is this a standalone story all on itself? Does it have any kind of interaction with the full Tolkien universe and the previous games or the games coming in the future?
Yeah, exactly. So it's a standalone game, but obviously, it involves the same characters. So we follow Talion's story through Mordor to defeat, the Dark Lord Sauron. So we worked very closely with Monolith to develop this game and to make sure that it was sort of consistent with the lore. That was something that was hugely important to us. So it is standalone, but there's a lot of familiar faces. You know, you'll see Ratbag in there, Celebrimbor, Talion, a lot of characters that players are really familiar with. So we're excited to be able to bring them to mobile. Another opportunity for players to check them out.
Yeah. So I was watching a video earlier today, and there was a lot of questions of people asking if Ratbag is in there. So apparently he's in the game. I know one of the trailers we were watching earlier, I think somebody says his name or something to that effect. I'll be playing it in the feed later. But yeah, it's I'm glad to see that some of the older characters are being brought back in, and it brings some familiarity for people who have played the game in the past.
Totally. Yeah, we're really excited to bring back some of those fan favorites. It's all about team building this game and assembling a roster of different champions. And Ratbag was one of our favorites, so we made sure that he got in there.
Awesome. So being a Middle Earth game, most important question, especially because I'm looking forward to the other game from the game from Monolith that's coming out soon. Does the Nemesis system return for this iteration of the game?
Yeah, so that's something that obviously, as we were developing the game, we looked at the console game Shadow of Mordor really closely, and that Nemesis system was obviously something that resonated with a lot of people. So that was a core pillar for us. We wanted to make sure that we replicated that as best we could. So in our game, there actually is a Nemesis system. All the orcs are procedurally generated. The cool thing is that if you're playing and I'm playing, we'll actually have a different set of orcs that we fight against during the campaign. So there's a whole bunch of different looks, different nicknames, very similar to the console game. They react to how you play against them. If you use a fire skill against them, maybe the next time they'll be more resistant to fire or get enraged by fire. So there's a lot of really cool things we did with that. And I think we did it justice. We tried to incorporate that. That was hugely important for us. So yeah, it's in there.
Yeah. Was there any challenges? Because, this is a pretty big game, though, that's coming out. It came already in the consoles and stuff. But for mobile, Has there been any challenges when it comes to like a story or just the characters or anything while developing this game?
Definitely. You know, I think one of the biggest challenges for us was making sure, like I mentioned earlier, that it was consistent with the lore. Obviously, it's such a well-established world. You know, there's a lot of, you know, predefined characters. And so we, like I said, we worked really closely with Monolith to try to figure out, you know, a story and narrative that was, you know, suitable for a mobile platform, but still consistent with the Lord of the Rings universe. So that was definitely a big challenge for us, but it was something that we were really excited about, you know, just being a part of it.
Yeah, I know you guys worked on a lot of other games and stuff. How's been the experience so far, you know, working on this and the previous games too for your company?
It's been fantastic. So we, you know, we did The Walking Dead Road to Survival a couple of years ago, which is still around. And we took a lot of those learnings from that game and applied it to this one. So there's definitely, you know, a lot of parallels, you know, a lot of things that we used and a lot of learning experiences. But working on this game has been fantastic. Like I said, Warner Brothers, Monolith, Zance, they've all been fantastic, the partners to work with. And it's one that we're really excited about, definitely.
What is going to be the overriding thing that's going to make players want to continue? Is there going to be any mini or microtransactions available in the game? Is it going to be, and one of the things that people hate to hear, but is this going to be a play to, you know, pay to win type scenario?
Yeah. So I think one of the things that we're really excited about, and obviously that's something that we're very cognizant of, but I think one of the things we're excited about is that, you know, we'll have events, all the characters will be accessible, you know, and you can get them without paying. So we made sure that it is accessible to all players. There are in-app purchases and microtransactions, but we wanted to make sure that all the gameplay was accessible. So that was something that we definitely kept an eye on during development, and we'll be making, you know, iterations and tweaks to make sure that is the case moving forward.
You said events. What type of events are you talking about?
Just lots of events. So obviously, you know, it's a mobile title. We're planning on, you know, extending this game and releasing updates into the future, you know, for conceivably years. So I can't get into too many details now, but there will be a lot of really cool events. You know, like I said, we're drawing a lot on our previous experience, you know, just having different types of things and modes and gameplay for players to engage with. So that's coming soon. I can't get into too many details, but there'll be a lot more content and updates for players to engage with soon.
Is there going to be any benefits? Like, let's say I already have this game, right? And I'm also getting the game for the console. Is there going to be anything special because I have the mobile game too?
Yeah, we were thinking about that. It was definitely a discussion that we had. We ended up not going that route. We thought that our you know, resources were sort of better spent focusing on developing as many features and the best game we could for the mobile version without the tie-in. You know, I wouldn't say it's a foregone conclusion, but as of now, there isn't any sort of tie-in like that.
This being a mobile game, is there going to be like a friend party up system where you can go and group up with friends, or is this purely a single person, you know, on their mobile device type game?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, again, one of the core pillars for us was making, you know, because it is a mobile game, social components are so huge. I think that's one of the things that we've seen on previous projects that to me is incredibly rewarding. So we have like a fellow, it's called Fellowships. It's basically a guild system where you can group up with friends, you know, discuss strategy. There's a guild chat. We also have a global chat. So there's a lot of social features in there. And that's one of the things that is really exciting for me. You see these communities develop of players that play similarly. It's sort of, you know, it's very tailored towards mobile. So we're going to be continuously adding more features, more stuff for them to do, specifically in a guild context where they can play with friends. So that's actually a huge component for us, and something that we're really excited about.
Yeah, there you go, Pete. We'll talk some more, Pete, you and me. Behind the scenes, right?
I'll be down. I had an amazing time playing the full retail when we were at PAX just a couple of weeks ago. And mm-hmm. I've always been a big fan of the Tolkien universe. I mean, from the books early on, from when I was a kid, obviously, mm-hmm. you know, the gray hair shows that I read those things with paper. And obviously the movies and then the games and everything. How big is the community for something like this on the mobile side? Obviously, we know, you know, there's always the community talk on the larger consoles or on the PC side. How big is the community for the mobile side, and how tapped into that are you? Like, is there a forum or online place where people can go and talk and you know, drop feedback, what have you, whether it be with the devs or moderators, et cetera?
Yeah, totally. So I think that, you know, previously we've been in soft launch, the community hasn't been that big. But one of the really cool things is that, you know, we expect this game to be pretty big. I think that mobile is such an accessible platform that we really reach a lot of people, you know, even beyond the console game. So there's a huge opportunity for us there, and something that we're really excited about. There is a forum, so we actually, you know, listen to a lot of feedback throughout beta. We got a ton of feedback from players. You know, I know all the team here, the developers, are reading that and taking a look and trying to incorporate that into the game. If you Google it, you can check out on the Warner Brothers website. They have links to the forum. So that's where I would go to check it out. And yeah, feel free to drop feedback. Like I said, we read through it. We take that seriously, and it's something that is really rewarding for us to see the feedback coming in.
Yeah, I mean, the mobile community is pretty big, man, when it comes to like gaming and stuff. So more than PC, more than consoles, because everybody has a cell phone, right? Everybody has a smartphone, I mean. I think it's gonna be cool, man. You know, I played a lot of the not more like RTS games, but more like, you know, puzzles games and stuff like that. But, you know, something like this, like I played the Walking Dead game too in the past too. I think a lot of people are probably gonna get into that stuff, man, too, man. You know, when they're away from home, they don't have a Nintendo Switch, right? They have a smartphone, you know, so they'll probably get into it too, man. And it's perfect timing too, because it's like a few weeks before the official launch of the game for the console for Xbox One and everything, man. So this is like a perfect time for you to get into it too, man. So
yeah. What were there any other games or game types that led you down the path to design Shadow of War, the mobile version? Because when I see the gameplay, I see a lot of hints of like League of Legends, you know, where you're running down and, you know, it kind of gives me the feel of like, you know, a single player bot lane type experience. Were there any other games that were kind of like an influence to how you wanted to design the game to come out with?
Totally. Yeah, that's a great question. I think that when we're, you know, concepting the game and coming up with the game, we really like to borrow bits and pieces from a whole bunch of different games that we think are successful. So League of Legends, definitely, you know, that was a huge reference point for us. And you can see that in a lot of the gameplay and some of the skills and abilities that we use. So a lot of those MOBAs definitely were a good reference for us. You know, we also took a lot of learnings, like I said before, from previous titles that we've done in sort of the mobile RPG space in terms of the progression and stuff like that. But looking forward, you know, on future updates, there's a ton of cool games. We reference a lot of different stuff, some things that people might be surprised about. So, yeah, I would say we definitely took a lot of inspiration from some of the MOBAs, from some of the, you know, the RPG mobile games that are out there, and then as well some of our past learnings. And, of course, the console game. I mean, working with Monolith was such a treat. They gave us a lot of insight into, you know, the way they did things for Shadow of Mordor and Shadow of War. So we tried to borrow that and leverage that as best we could.
You got your chance, you know, hawk it, you know, where can you know, aside from, you know, where they can get the game, obviously the iOS and Google Play Marketplace, more information on the game. Actually, no, yeah. You said you were saying, Danny.
Yeah, I have one more thing to say. So what type of like iOS or how old is the smartphones in order for them to play this game? Because people that probably have like some old iPhones or some old Android devices, you know, so.
That's right. We don't support everything, but we actually, that was one of our considerations when building the game. So we support most devices. I can't list them all, but I think, you know, within the last 5 years, you're probably safe. We also have like graphic settings, which is something that's pretty cool. You don't see a lot of mobile games doing that, but you know, if you want to run the device, you know, at a higher FPS, you can sort of drop the graphic settings down a bit. So that's something that we're doing as well. But it should support most devices. Maybe not your 90s cell phones.
90s cell phones.
Yeah,
that's good. That's good. Right, just in case, that's good.
Yeah. So one last question. Is it formatted for the larger iPad screens? Because I know that sometimes with mobile devices, especially on the iOS side, either you have to play it in iPhone mode or you get it stretched. The second question would be, is it iOS 11 ready? Because I know that one just dropped, you know, about a week ago. And, you know, obviously my iPhone is slower as a result. But, you know, is there any issues with the newer iOS release?
Yeah, so both of them, so for the iPad, it should be playable. It should be, it's optimized for the iPhone, but iPad still works just fine. And we actually make continuous optimization. So we have, a proprietary engine that we use that actually allows us to, set up the layouts and the screens on both aspect ratios. So we're making improvements to that. Same thing for iOS 11. It should be supported. It works. We're still trying to iron out some kinks and make sure that it's, runs as smoothly as it can. It is supported on iOS 11 as well.
All right. Thanks, Ethan, for the interview, man, and good luck with the game, man. I already have mine downloaded, so I'm ready to try this out,
Thank you guys so much for having me. Like I said, for all the listeners, please check us out on the App Store and on Android, on Google Play as well. We're really excited for the console release and hopefully the mobile game looks at you guys as well.
Yeah, and it's free. It's free.
Totally free.
Totally free. Check it out, man, for sure. All right, Ethan, thanks a lot, man.
Back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Tomorrow, actually, by the time you hear this, I don't know if it's going to be 100% or not, but I have to go to the store early tomorrow because I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission to find a Super NES classic. I know a lot of people don't care about this. I do. Because to me, Super Nintendo and Dreamcast are like my top all-time favorite consoles ever for me. So, like, I got the NES classic. Love the system. It's cool. I play here and there. It's been a while, right? But Super Nintendo, to me, still to this day, I play a lot of old games from the Super Nintendo era on my 3DS. I wish they could do that on the Switch, but they can't for now. But they're probably going to add that later. But I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission to find this console, man. I'm going to try my best to record my experience of going to stores, different stores, finding this and everything. And anything that I captured from my experience, I'm definitely going to put it on the podcast. I want people to hear it, man, because it'll be pretty, pretty funny. So you're probably going to hear me very excited or very mad, one of those two. So stay tuned. That's going to be a lot of fun. But
my question, with regards to that.
Wait, hold on. I haven't finished. So I've been reading, because I've been reading people that been leaking lists of different retailers, like how many they're going to have per store. So far, what I've seen is Best Buy has the most that I've seen out of everybody. Some stores are going to get 40, some are going to get like 70 or 80. So I'm very excited. My brother is also going with me to the store, cause he also going to get a Super Nintendo classic. So personally, this week has been great. It's Forza 7, Cuphead, and Super NES classic. And then October, bunch of freaking other games is coming out, so it's gonna be a good time, man, to be a gamer, man, I just want to say that very quick.
My question is, how confident are you that you're going to end up going home sometime tomorrow, whether it's 10 a.m 10 p.m how confident are you that you think you're gonna go home with a Super NES classic?
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit nervous. I'm a little bit nervous. Like, the NES Classic was a little bit challenging. And I think have I mentioned the story to you? What happened to me when I went to the store? I think I mentioned it on the podcast. I can't remember exactly. So
say the story for those who don't know it.
All right. So it was on a Thursday night. I decided to go to Walmart, and I was like, all right, let me just go. So I went there. I got there like around 10:30 or so, 10:40. So there was people in line. I thought, man, nobody's going to be over there at Walmart. I just showed up. Dude, there was 15 people right? So I was like number 16. So I'm there waiting and stuff. So the cashier, right before midnight, she was like, I have an announcement to make. We only have 15 copies of the NES Classic. And dude, I was there sweating like, oh man, this is not good, man. This is not good. You know what? I'm going to stay. More people start showing up. I think there was like maybe 30 to 35 people in line at Walmart, right? This was super late. So I decided to stay. I said to myself, maybe somebody, their credit card get declined. Maybe somebody just leave. They forgot their wallet. Something's going to happen. Let me just stay. You never know. So people have been buying their console. So far, everybody been going smooth. They paid. No problem. Yo, when it was like number 14, Pete, I was sweating, man. Sweating. I was like, that's it. This is the end. I'm not going to make it, man. I'm not going to buy the console. And from far away, I got to see somebody from Walmart running with a big box. And they said, hey, we have more. We have more. They opened it. It was like 15 more. I was like, yes. So I got lucky and I got my NES Classic. But imagine me leaving when they said at the beginning, we only had a certain amount. Dude, I would have left and I would have come home empty handed, man. So that's good that I stayed, man. Oh, there you go. Pete has the image and everything of the souvenir. I like that. I'm excited. I'm ready. It's gonna be a great challenge for me, man. But I'm excited. I'm confident that I'm gonna get one. I gotta stay positive. There you go, just in case. But look, I'm excited because honestly, I want to play Star Fox 2. I know a lot of people probably played it, the bootleg version online. I haven't. I want to get the full experience with the console, two controllers, everything on my TV, and enjoy it, man. So we'll see.
So what's, aside from Star Fox 2, because I mean, obviously that's the one thing that everybody, you know, pretty much in the United States didn't even get a chance to play.
No, it never got released, period.
It never got released, period?
Period, yeah. It never got released because this was the time when the Nintendo 64 was coming out. Nintendo decided to just stick with, let's work on the next console. Let's work on the next Star Fox. The game was already done, but it never got released. And it was just bad timing. So they put it on the shelf over there in Nintendo. They never released it. So, but I actually, the main developer that worked on that game, he's always posting on Twitter. He was even surprised that Nintendo decided to release this for the Super NES Classic. So, yeah.
Crazy.
He was very surprised. Yeah.
So aside from that, and I know Paris on the last show was talking about Legend of Zelda Link to the Past being on there.
Yeah.
Secret of Mana, I know that's one that's near and dear to your heart.
Yes, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, we talked about that just prior to PAX. Is there any other game on that list of game, you know, that list of titles for the classic that you're looking forward to revisiting?
Donkey Kong Country. It reminds me a lot when I used to live in Dominican Republic. That's when the time where I had my little business, yeah, my store where people will go and actually pay. I was young. I was like maybe, I was like in my teens. I can't remember exactly how old, but people were going to my store and they would actually pay me for them to play all my Super Nintendo games. So Donkey Kong Country was a game that just came out at that time. And it was cool. It was a very cool experience. It was that game. It was a Street Fighter. Another game too I'm very excited to play again. I haven't played in a long time. Is F-Zero. I'm a huge fan of that. What else? Super Punch-Out. They have Mario Kart in there. Super Mario World, you know. And at the same time too, like, I want to play these games too with my family. Like, you know, especially with my niece, my fiance, my nephews and nieces. They want to, you know, they want to play this too, man. It's like, to me, it's like a way for them to learn the history about that, man. Like, yo, the other day, Pete, I was on Twitter, right? And somebody posted a video of this young little girl. I think she was maybe like 3 years old. She had the Game Boy Color, right? And instead of using the buttons, she was swiping it like if it's like an iPhone. The whole time she's like this, like going like this to a Game Boy Color. When I saw that, I felt so old. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God. Dude, there's a lot of kids. There's a lot of kids that they've never had a chance to play that, man, you know?
Is there a title there that is like a waste of space that you're like, why did they put that on there?
Oh, you know what? Let me check out the list, man, because I don't remember.
There's Super Mario World, Legend of Zelda.
Classic.
F-Zero.
Classic.
Super Metroid.
Classic.
Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Okay.
Super Punch-Out. Castlevania 4. Donkey Kong Country.
By the way, pause right there, pause. Castlevania 4, one of the best soundtracks. I'll put it up there with Streets of Rage 1 and 2, but go ahead.
All right, so Castlevania 4, Donkey Kong Country, Mega Man X.
I'm going to be real. I am not a huge fan of Mega Man X. I've always been like I'm more of the older Mega Mans. Mm-hmm. But Mega Man X, this is a crowd that they love that. I just wasn't my thing, but go ahead, P.
Kirby Superstar, and that's 8 games in one. So essentially, you're getting 29 games in total.
Yeah.
Does that count as 29 in total? Because, you know, there's 20. There's the 20 games, and there's Star Fox 2, and then, you know, or 27 or whatever. Final Fantasy 3.
Ooh, one of my favorites.
Kirby's Dream Course.
Eh.
I think we just found the one. We found the one that you're not looking forward to playing. It'll never get turned on.
I've just never been a huge Kirby fan. I don't know. I don't care much.
So, Yoshi's Island.
I don't remember playing that, but I don't hate the game. But I'll try it. I'll try it out again.
Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars.
Classic.
For those that don't know.
I don't think I've ever played that. I've never played that.
I definitely have to mention this. For those that don't know, Final Fantasy was huge in Japan during that time, right? But every time it would come out to here in the States, it was like it will sell, but it wasn't like in Japan. So Final Fantasy II came out here, huge in Japan here. It was like, it was okay. Then Final Fantasy III came out, which is Final Fantasy VI, I believe, in Japan. That came out in Japan. It was huge, huge. Came out in the States. Yo, to me, one of my favorite games from Final Fantasy series. Like, I put this higher than 7. I know 7 a lot of people like because of the story and everything. But to me, challenge-wise, 3 was freaking hard. That came in the States, and it was okay. The sales wasn't that big, right? So Nintendo and Square got together to release Super Mario RPG. And the reason why they did that is because Nintendo wanted to do something different. Square wanted to get more attention over here, the States, and it helped. And that game sold more than Final Fantasy III here in the States. That game right there, Mario RPG.
Sorry, I'm a huge history buff when it comes to
when it comes to like Super Nintendo stuff. Yeah, but go ahead.
4 more games. Contra 3.
Classic. Classic, classic. Now, here's a history about this one. Contra, if you play it on easy, you will not see the real boss. You have to have it the hardest difficulty to see the real boss in that game.
Hmm.
Yes.
Hmm. All right. Secret of Mana. Obviously, we've already covered that. We know you've...
Classic.
You love that.
Yes. That's the one that you could play... All right. So when this game came out for the Super Nintendo, you had to... Secret of Mana. I know it's a three. You could play 3 players. You had to get an adapter for the Super Nintendo in order for you to play multiplayer, like local multiplayer. So I finished this game with my brother, 2 players, for this Secret of Mana. Go ahead. Next one.
Earthbound.
Okay, Earthbound. I was not a huge fan of this, so I mean, it's cool. That's all I can say. Yeah, I re-downloaded it for the Wii U. I played for a little bit, stopped playing it after a while. I was like, eh. But yeah, go ahead. Pete, next one.
And the last one.
Yes.
Put it, even put it up on the screen for you. Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
Tough game. I like it. That's a great Capcom game, man. That game was really, really hard. Tough, tough game. So yeah, I mean, the look, there's games for everyone. There's a fighting game, there's platformer, there's RPGs. I think it's a great console, a great device to have, man. And the conversation I was telling Paris the last episode is that there's people still to this day that don't have a Nintendo Switch. Maybe they don't have the money to pay for a Nintendo Switch, but I bet you they could get easily $80 and buy a device like this. And honestly, there's a crowd to this day that all they play is the old games. They don't even play Xbox. They don't play PlayStation. They don't play Nintendo Switch. They play retro games. So this is, I'm like a huge fan of Super Nintendo. This is for me, man. And there's people like me out there too, man, you know? So, but I do want to say this. Like, I personally think that the Super Nintendo had one of the best controllers ever at that time too, man.
At that time. So that qualifier, yeah, that you threw that out there right at the end. They're like,
no, because I like the Xbox controller. You know, I put it up there too, man. So yeah, sorry, I've been talking a lot.
No. Hey, I'm not the Nintendo person, so I gotta live through you with the Nintendo stuff. I mean, I know we've heard Paris's stories of the first mini.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened with his is the exact same reason why I'm hesitant to go out and buy a Super an NES classic period, whether it be the original or it be the Super NES. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid of spending, what is it, $80, $90, $100.
It's $80.
Going through the rigmarole of running from store to store, I'm the type of person that if I can't get it the first shot, I'm never going to buy it. Right. But my concern is going and trying to get it. And even if I get it, it's going to end up being the Ouya of 2017, because I'm going to play it maybe for a week or two, maybe 3 weeks max, if I could fit it in between all my PUBG games. And then it sits in a box, kind of like the one to my right, which if I were to show you, I think I've shown you pictures of all the stuff that's in there, you know. PlayStation 1, PlayStation, you know, the Jaguar controls. I've got a Neo Geo. Actually, my daughter has hijacked that from me.
Wow.
It's, like a, little, it's a, little mini, a little mini Neo Geo.
Wait, are you talking about the Neo Geo or the handheld one that they had?
It's, hold on.
Is it a console or the handheld?
No, it's the handheld. It's the Neo Geo.
Yeah, I had that one.
The Neo Geo Pocket or something like that?
Yeah.
Pocket, yep. I had that one too. That came out early 2000s. Was it early 2000s, late 90s? Around there. So yeah, I can't remember. It was so long ago. But yeah, I mean, I'll tell you this. I play a lot of old school games. I play a lot. I even streamed old school games here on our Twitch channel. You know, Streets of Rage and everything. Yeah. And the thing is that I like is the soundtrack. And how much fun I've been having too, like playing all those different type of games. So that's why I play it, man. It reminded me a lot when I was young at that time and everything, you know.
I had hair,
of course, yeah.
Yeah, so. Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so like Danny, myself, Paris, we're huge football fans. I know Danny's a fan of the Dolphins. Paris is a fan of the Buccaneers. I'm a Denver Broncos fan. There's actually a really good game coming up Sunday afternoon. It's going to be the Raiders versus Broncos, AFC West matchup. You know, both 2-1, both coming off of a loss. What's the best way to watch it? CBS All Access. Game on. Don't miss a second of NFL on CBS. With the All Access subscription, you can stream local market games live and get full game day coverage on TV-connected devices and tablets. So what's a TV connected device or a tablet, Apple TV, Android, iPads, Rokus, Google Chromecast, PlayStation 4, Xbox, Windows 10, and Amazon Fire TV all have the capability to use CBS All Access and stream your favorite games from the comfort of your home or even on the go. Watch them on your mobile device while you're sitting in the car, train station, bus station, waiting for dinner or getting ready to take off on a flight or something like that. And this includes Thursday night football games because they're featured on CBS. All you have to do is get a subscription for CBS All Access, and you don't just get football games either. You can get special live award shows like the Emmys, etc. You can get news, fall premieres, and more, and access to over 9,000 current and classic episodes on demand. So all you have to do is start your free trial now at cbs.com/NFL.
Back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio.
Paris calls the Game Gear the GOAT. I'll tell you this. I had a Game Gear. I will not call that a GOAT. I'll call it the GOAT of sucking battery life. I had the Game Gear. This is when I used to live at the Dominican Republic. I had a Game Gear. You know, the great thing about that device is that when it's like nighttime, you turn it on, you have the screen, it works, it's good, and you play it, right? But it just like, the battery, man, it was so bad. So bad. So I had the Sonic game I had for Game Gear. Now, when you play the original Game Boy, if you play that at night with no lights, oh my God, what a disaster. You can't see anything, man. Unless you have that special accessory, it has like a special light that will focus on your screen and everything. That's the only way you could play the original Game Boy on that, man.
And so, didn't that have a TV tuner?
Yes, it did. Yeah. The Game Gear. Yeah. Yep.
For three minutes of video.
Sega was thinking out of, yo, they were ahead of its time when it comes to that, man. You know, so that was pretty cool. So I think I tried that out too. The TV tuner for the Game Gear. Oh my God. I totally forgot about that. Woo. Wow. Yeah, man, but that battery was pretty bad, man. So
speaking of new or of consoles, right? Obviously, yeah. the old school epic device of all time, the Atari, has come back, and yes. So now there's a new console coming up. What are your thoughts? The Atari Box.
I need to know more about it. Like, it seems like they're promoting a lot of, like, yeah, you could play games, you could stream and all this stuff, but every other console that came out, you could do the same exact thing. So I just need to know more. What's so special? Why should I buy this? I believe it's going to cost between $250 to $300. Mm-hmm. So to me, I need to know the games. What are the games that they're going to have available? I know you could play the old Atari games. For that, and I mentioned this many times during my speaking gigs and stuff, that Atari 2600 was my first video game console. First one, it was Defenders, Pac-Man, and I believe there was one more, Asteroids. Those were my three first games that I got for my Atari 2600. So I need to know what else I could play besides the old games. $250 is a lot, man.
No, I agree. And putting it in the same price tag as an Xbox One X, or not, sorry, Xbox One S, or One the S. original PlayStation 4, knowing that you've got that back catalog of Atari games, knowing that you, Danny, of all people, are such a fan of history and classic games, I agree with you that I think the price tag is wrong. I think the price tag is more because they've got to recoup the cost of developing and marketing and building. I love the aesthetics of the box itself. Mm-hmm. They're using Linux, so I don't think there's really like an OS cost short of the development component of, you know, designing the UI and essentially porting an emulator to play your games. Yeah. I'm surprised to hear, though, that you don't have an interest.
I'm curious about this. It all depends on the games. What type of games I could play. if I'm going to pay $250, I hope it's not only because to stream games, not to stream, to stream movies and play old games. I want to see more than just that. I think right now they're just releasing news here and there to start getting a buzz. But I'm curious. I mean, the device looks cool. As a person that had an Atari 2600 back in the days, I'm curious about it. You know, and it's good. Atari's coming back. That's cool and all. But I just need to know more about the console.
And it's not just the old back catalog of Atari games. You're supposed to be able to play some of the newer games now. I'm pretty certain I could probably bet one of those high-priced comic books back there that it's not going to play The Witcher 3, right? But I could see newer mid-tier, mid-performance tier type games being played on it. Things that you could probably play on Steam Linux boxes, right? So
I had a Steam machine.
But like the Linux version of Steam, where you're not going to get the full component or the full catalog of Steam library availability titles, but you know, maybe like a Sleeping Dogs or maybe you know, things that aren't as, you know, extremely taxing on whether it be the GPU or the CPU of current games. Like you're not going to see Shadow of Mordor, you know, on there. Like maybe you see Shadow of War Mobile on there. But it's curious, like you said, it's got you thinking, like, what are they going to have? What could they, you know, what could they have on there? Like, yeah, there's some titles like, you know, Pitfall, things like that, that I would love to revisit. But it's that novelty niche product similar to the Nintendo Classic and NES Classic that has me hesitant to go out and throw cash at it. Right.
Like I said, I'm working on a couple of things for the
podcast. So just,
and I'm curious about the controller. Are they going to give you the stick?
No, I really doubt that's going to happen. Maybe this could be like a little Steam machine console. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'll play some indie games. Like, we don't know. I just need to get more information from Atari. You know, we're going to play the review of Cuphead on this episode. And we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Well, Cuphead and his Pelmug man, they like to roll the dice. By chance they came upon Devil's Game, and gosh, they paid the price. Paid the price. And now they're fighting for their lives on a mission fraught with dread. And if they proceed but don't succeed, well, the devil will take their heads.
Don't deal with the devil. That's what happens with the brothers Cuphead and Mugman. They got into some deep-ish, and now they got to fix it. From the highly anticipated title from the studio MDHR, there's Cuphead for the Xbox One and also PC. For those that don't know, this, like, if you got to see the videos, it's like inspired by cartoons from the 1930s. This is a classic run-gun game, you know, if you're a fan of, like, those old-school games from back in the 90s and stuff. And also, even in the 1980s for Nintendo, Sega Genesis, this is it. This is one of the games that is going to bring back a lot of memories. But not only the type of game it is, but also the visuals. Like I said, cartoons from the 1930s, the music from the 1930s. It is amazing. But at the same time, a very, very, very challenging game. You could play one player, you could play two players. I've been playing now one player for, man, the past 48 hours nonstop. When I say nonstop, sweating. My face looks crazy because I've been stressed out. I've been cursing because certain levels is really, really tough, but you have to keep on going. You can't give up. But if you play two players, it's a lot easier. The game is still difficult. But it's a lot easier because if your partner dies, you could revive him. If both of the players dies, then you have to start again, either the boss or levels. I don't want to say much about the story because I want you to play this and be surprised. But when you listen to the title, right at the beginning of the game, the song, when they show the name of the game, Cuphead and everything, you see the characters, right before you press any button, listen to the lyrics of the song. Listen carefully because it has to do a lot with the story. So make sure to do that right before you play.
Here's a real high-class bout. And begin!
The animation is hand-drawn, which is crazy that the developers on this game, actually three of them, worked on this for a while now. And all the characters, watercolor, everything is hand-drawn. Insane. It looks amazing. It looks like I'm watching a cartoon on TV. Wow. Amazing. I have never seen this ever. And, you know, every time I go to E3, I had a chance to play this game a couple of times now. One was behind closed door, you know, while waiting for an interview. We were just sitting there. I'm like, oh, what is this? And it was Cuphead. So it was still early. And now that I get the final product, let me tell you, this is worth more than $20. It is so much fun. Very, very challenging. Let me stress this a lot. It is challenging. This is not an easy game. I can see why a lot of the journalists were like super stressed out and they couldn't get far, man, into the game because it is that tough. All the bosses, even the regular levels where you need to go in order for you to upgrade your character, you need to go to these levels. Even in the beginning of the game, if it takes a long time, I highly recommend you, before you go to the boss battles, finish the regular levels. That one, about those levels, you can't change difficulty. You can't. All right? You just got to play it, figure it out, collect as much coins as you can. And with that, you go to the shop and upgrade your character. Very, very important because, let me tell you, there's some bosses that if you never upgrade your character, forget it. I don't know how in the world you're going to pass that, but it's a lot difficult, man. So highly recommend it. Now, another thing too that I need to talk about, which is very, very important, and I think is very smart for the developers to add this in the game. So there's two difficulties. Every time you play against a boss battle, there's a simple difficulty and also regular difficulty. My advice is try the simple one. Get to know the boss, how it is and everything, right? Once you finish, you go back and play regular. And there's a reason why you need to go back. In order for you to unlock World 3, you need to pass every single boss on regular. Every single one of them, World 1, World 2, and then you could go to World 3. And in order for you to unlock the finale, you need to, once again, finish every single boss, regular difficulty, World 3, and then the finale will open up and unlock, which is great. I think that's great. And I'm super curious to see how a lot of these journalists are going to be reviewing this, because let me tell you, this game is not easy. It took me forever. My hands, my thumb is all messed up. I got super stressed out. Now I'm like in a good position right now because, you know, I have over 70% now done. I'm on World 3, almost done with World 3, and I'm about to get to the finale. And it's good that I haven't finished the game yet because I want to be surprised and not rush the finale just to talk about it on the show, you know. But overall, if you check my achievements and you check my the hours I've been playing this nonstop. I think I've been playing this more than Forza 7, which I also got it the same day. And the reason is because I love this challenge. This is a really good game. You know, I haven't played two-player mode yet. I am thinking about doing that with family and friends and stuff to try it out. But a lot of people are going to be asking me, Danny, is it worth getting this game? Yes, it is worth getting this. If you're an Xbox owner or even a PC owner, this is highly recommended. You could pay between $14 to even $20 to get this game. And it's great for us gamers to support these type of games, especially in the indie scene, because they're the ones that are taking a lot of risk, a lot of risk that a lot of the big publishers, the big companies are not doing at all, man. So I highly recommend it for you to definitely support this game big time. I love Cuphead. One of my favorite games so far that I played indie-wise, especially. One of my favorite games, period, for this year. I put it up there with Marvel Rabbids. I put it up there with Zelda. A lot of those, man. So shout out to the studio, the developers that worked on this, man. I know they've been working on this for a very, very long time. That's for the studio over there, MDHR. Shout out to them. And also thanks to Microsoft for sending me this code. But let me tell you, like I said, guys, play this game, download it, PC, Xbox, highly recommended. Must have. Let's go.
Send us your feedback or questions. Yep. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
So, Pete, I know you haven't played this yet. I know you haven't played it, but I'm very curious to see what you have to say about Forza 7. And we're going to talk about it in the next episode about that. But is this your first Forza game or no?
No, it's not my first Forza. I won't lie. It'll probably be the first time I've purchased Forza.
What do you mean purchased?
Since the original Xbox.
Oh, the original Xbox? Nice. Okay. Oh, this is the early days.
I remember buying the original, the Forza on the original Xbox and Project Gotham Racing.
Okay.
And realizing even then that I liked Project Gotham Racing more than I liked Forza, because I'm not a sim racer fan. Actually, you know, no lies. I have Horizon on the Xbox One.
Horizon and the regular Forza.
Two totally different games. The reason why I liked Horizon is because it's the arcadey racer, and I'm the arcadey racer guy. I prefer the Midnight Clubs, the Blur, and things like that, Crew 2.
Oh my god, Blur, man.
Blur still. Blur. That pisses me off to no end that studio closed.
I'm wondering what... I know this is like a random discussion right here about Blur.
Completely derailed the show. Yeah, but
I really want to know, like, why that game failed. That game was so much fun.
Dude, remember the game nights we used to have with the community? Yes. And race, dude, and get mad?
Amazing. Yes. Mandy, David, dude, everybody from the GTR community playing with us too, man. Dude, they gave us 100 codes for the beta, and we gave all the 100 codes, everybody, let's get together and let's play. It was a lot of fun, man. Bizarre Creations, yo, they were one of my favorite developers, man.
Agreed.
Even when they worked on Project Gotham Racing, they've been on our show too in the past,
mm-hmm.
many times to promote all their Project Gotham games and stuff, man. So, damn, man, Blur was a lot of fun, man.
Yep.
Amazing game, man. Yeah, definitely. Wow, Pete, I totally forgot about that game. So yeah, anything else, Pete, before we wrap it up?
No, I think we're good. It was one of those shows that, like, we didn't come in with a lot of planning, but
no, it's cool. But sometimes it's good to have a conversation like this, man. We talked a lot about Super Nintendo Classic, right? We talked about,
you and I have said this in the past, that the shows that we do that aren't planned out, like we don't have a set defined, you know, schedule of what we want to discuss, usually comes out to be the more lighthearted and more fun ones, right? You know, because we're talking about, you know, games that we enjoy or consoles that we enjoy, and we don't meddle with the, you know, with the negativity. So
yeah,
okay. I dug it. I think it was a really good show this week. I liked it.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com or play that it for /gamertag. Listen to our past episodes. You can also find us in many different podcast directories like iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other places too. You can find us and subscribe, review us, share with your friends, all that good stuff. Also, watch us live on Twitch Sundays, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Wednesday nights, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that's it for now. The next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.